Hello everyone and welcome to another preview show here on the Cycling Dane Extra Channel, or if you're listening on the Cycling Dane podcast. As always, I'm joined by Patrick Blake of Audi Cycling and one third of the Echelon Cycling podcast. And today we're looking at Liège-Bastogne-Liège, the fourth monument of the year and for many people called the old lady and the oldest one day race. And I mean, Patrick, Liège-Bastogne-Liège, great race. Sometimes it's a bit classics fatigue at this stage because we've just had one race every single weekend. Obviously, the best edition was 2019. I don't have to explain that. Jakob Fuglsang winning. Absolutely a remarkable one. I was watching it in Copenhagen. The whole cafe almost died when he almost lost his wheel on the last descent. But other than that, big victory. But yeah, Liège-Bastogne-Liège, where does it sit for you at the race and previous editions, etc.?
I think describing it as classic fatigue is just so perfect. So I think even we were feeling it where it's just midweek race, race of a weekend. But Liège is, like you say, it's a monument. It's an important one for a lot of riders. It's very sad that a lot of the main contenders crashed in Basque country. So we're going to have no Roglic. We're going to have no Remco, both of whom are previous winners of this race. I mean, Remco's won the last two editions, so he's obviously a really influential rider to not be here. But we do have another previous winner. Well, we've got a few previous winners on the start list, and I think that it's going to be an interesting one. Obviously, we've got some other big names. Kind of, we've got a certain rider who is looking to add another monument to his ever-growing collection. And I think it's going to be an interesting one to watch. And hopefully, it's not going to be just kind of like one person soloing off and into the distance with an hour to go. And maybe there's a little bit more intrigue.
But yeah, nevertheless, Patrick, what does the 2024 route look like for Liège-Bastogne-Liège?
So Liège-Bastogne-Liège, 254.5 kilometers, and it includes a lot of different climbs, including of course the famous Côte de la Redoute, which is 1.6 kilometers at 9.4%. This is where Remco has attacked on both of the previous editions. In 2022, it was a definitive attack when nobody was able to follow him. Last year, Pidcock was able to follow him slightly, but was actually gapped on the slight uphill drag after the Côte de la Redoute. I mean, after that, we've also got the Côte de Forge and the Côte de la Roche au Faucon. These climbs in the last couple of editions perhaps haven't played as much of an influential part, but the Côte de la Roche au Faucon is still a very difficult climb in its own right at 1.3 kilometers at 11%. And then before all this, there's also the Côte de Desnier, the Côte de Rossier, the Côte de la Haute-Levée. These all come really within the last hour of racing and provide a couple of kilometers of climbing at anywhere between sort of 5 to 10%. So it's really the attritional multitude of climbs that are coming at the riders which really makes a difference. But the Côte de la Redoute is the main launch pad. Well, it has been for the last few years, so that's where all eyes will be. It comes with about 30 kilometers to go, so it provides a pretty good point to attack because everyone's going to be quite tired by that point of a race.
Patrick, we might as well go into the favourites and king of the favourites. He did return last year, that is to be said, the 2021 champion, Tadej Pogačar. But obviously that, as we said in the Echelon, the Lefebvre pothole, it was kind of the misfortune for him. But really strong season already this year. That Strade Bianche where he just rode off with 81 kilometers to go, that was something crazy to see. And then Volta a Catalunya where he just ran right with the race completely. And Tadej is, I guess, the man to beat here, no?
Yeah, I think he absolutely is the main favorite. Winning Strade, third at Sanremo, winning Catalunya, like you say, along with all stage wins, he was pretty much untouchable. He's on a completely different level to everybody else. And I think that this race is pretty much suited towards him perfectly. It was a shame that, like you say, last year he had that pothole injury, which ultimately led to, you know, also a lack of preparation towards the Tour. So hopefully nothing like that happens in this race. But Pogačar is also backed up by a really strong UAE Team Emirates team, including at the moment Alessandro Covi, Mark Hirschi, second place at Amstel Gold Race of the weekend, Diego Lissi and João Almeida. It's at the moment, I'd say it's the strongest team in the race. I think that UAE are going to really put kind of a stranglehold on this race, very much kind of Alpecin from the Cobble Classic style. And I think it's going to be a hard team to beat, to be honest, Scott. It's got a lot of good riders in that. Hirschi, like I said, was second place at Amstel. Ulissi was very good at Vigilo d'Abruzzo recently. You got Almeida, who's looking really good, in really good form too. Like, it's they've almost got a stupid number of options that they could play, where even if they didn't have Pogacar here, they'd still be a team that's worthwhile mentioning.
Yeah, just having Hirschi finishing on the podium, like you said, just is a testament of his form right now. But is this going to be like a lot of negative racing against UAE, a bit like we saw with Alpecin to some extent in Amstel, having the overwhelming favorite? Are they going to be able to deal with that, or is the UAE team so much stronger than the Alpecin team in this terrain?
Yeah, I think you might see some defensive racing, because I think a lot of the secondary favorites in this race are quite close together in terms of ability, and you won't want to, you know, if I was in their shoes or cleats, I would probably not want to kind of show my hand too early, because then you're probably going to kind of blow your legs off. So it's going to be those secondary favorites might play it a little bit more cagey. So I think that it will just be UAE largely controlling everything. But there is one man who might throw a spanner in the works in all this.
I mean, they do say, I saw somewhere on Twitter where they said the two best bike riders right now are Tadej Pogačar and Mathieu van der Poel. And I think that came before the two crashes that wiped out most of the big names in the sport. So Mathieu van der Poel, the double world champion this year. Well, yeah, he's been world champion more times, but in terms of having both the road race and the world cyclocross championships to his name, yeah, we've spoken about him so much in these previews. He's been our number one guy for most of these races. A lot of people speculating that he was using Amstel just to get ready for this terrain. I mean, Mesbil, isn't there the same way thing with Tour of Flanders for Paris-Roubaix? So maybe, I don't know. I want him to win. We all know this now, because the fourth monument, he would only Il Lombardia away from completing the set, something that a non-Belgian hasn't done yet. So, but yeah, Patrick, you're a skeptic. You're a critic of the Van der Poel show taking over at Liège. He has finished sixth before, but that was in 2020. But yeah, why is he not going to win?
I think Amstel's the main thing which is holding me back from this. I was skeptical.
He was taking it easy. He was just, guys, you can have this one. I've already won Amstel. Don't really care. There's nothing. Who cares? Because I have the Paris-Roubaix Tour of Flanders double. That was my main thing. You can have Amstel. And then next week, bang, we come back and I'm going to thunder punch you in the throat again.
There was no big attack. That's what I wanted to see. I was expecting more from Amstel. I think if he was up there at Amstel, I think I'd be more optimistic. But it's also his team. He was isolated at Amstel at the end. You know, Quentin Hermans was the only man left, and he was on his knees. And I just don't see that Amstel, the team that was around him there, I don't see how we're going to do better at Liège. It's a harder race. The climbs are generally a little bit longer, a little bit steeper. Now, I just think that it's going to be quite hard. I think he could be in the running for a podium place, but I'm expecting a Pogacar attack, and I'm in two minds as to whether I think that Van der Poel's going to follow it. I think he will follow it, but it's just, is it going to be for like half a climb, and then is he going to blow up, that kind of thing. I just think if Pogacar wasn't here, I do think Van der Poel would have a decent shot at victory, but it's just that one guy who's, you know, Pogacar. He's really kind of holding me back.
Well, world championship, world rainbow bands, whatever, Mathieu van der Poel. Do we not remember Strada Bianchi, where he demolished everyone on that final climb? Okay, that's going back a bit, but
across like a different era of cycling at this point, almost.
I mean, I'm just, just a sucker for that completing the monuments. I just want it completed by someone who isn't Eddie Merckx or Roger de Vlaeminck. Yeah, okay, Mathieu van der Poel aside, that seems, weird to say. Obviously, Prince of Yorkshire himself, Tom Pidcock, winning Amstel Gold for a second time, as he said in the interview. Pidcock is at a pretty all right season, to be honest, because early on, Welt Algarve, he was up there in contention, sixth overall. Even at Tirreno, ninth was pretty impressive for me to see him do that. And then win Amstel, be up there in, was it Omloop as well? So, and started fourth as well, obviously not winning, but it was a completely different race from the one he won. So I don't think Tom Pidcock has had a bad season. I think he's been pretty good.
Yeah, I think he has been pretty good. That Amstel victory has definitely reinstated confidence in the Pidcock backers, where we're all sort of a bit like, oh, you know, he's there or thereabouts. And that's kind of where Pidcock has resided, I think, for a while. But that Amstel victory was a really impressive tactical performance. I think he played that really cool, really smart, and, you know, got the job done. It was going to be harder at Liège. I think he benefited from the fact that not many of the other big favourites were around him in that group which splintered off the front. So he was able to kind of whittle that down. I don't see him being able to easily do that again. Everyone's going to be quite aware of how he did it last time at Amstel, so we're not going to let him do that again. But that Amstel victory is important. You know, that does, it's the momentum, it's the confidence that he's going to get from that. And in comparison to some of the other secondary favourites, which we'll come on to, you know, they might be thinking, oh, you know, we missed out at Amstel. And they're kind of like, well, how do we regather and go again for Liège-Bastogne-Liège?
Yeah, so true. And I mean, I forgot to say this for Mathieu van der Poel. We always say that whatever Wout can do, Mathieu van der Poel can do better, apart from Tour de France stages. And Wout has finished, it was third, beaten by Quinten Hermans. So, I mean, if he can finish on the podium, Mathieu, come on, what are you doing? You need to win this. Nevertheless, that aside, in terms, well, Ineos Grenadiers really did impress me in that race, and Kwiatkowski looking quite good as well. But, I mean, we might as well move on to the secondary favourites. You kind of hinted at that. Who are you kind of looking towards here? This Melissa Bike, obviously, you lob them in here. Thies Benoot looking quite strong. Israel Prematech, we were hyping them up. That didn't really come to fruition. That was more like you said, a lot of these riders were caught behind. Mathias Skilmos Jensen, again, he was visible for like a few seconds on the Kalberg, but nothing really of note, and he was quite disappointed with the result. Last year he was towards the front and finished ninth in the end. But yeah, who's kind of this second tier favorites category? I mean, Vlasov's here as well, and echelon favorite Aleti Lutsenko, who just won the Giro d'Abruzzo. So
this is the thing, there's so many of these secondary kind of favorites who I think are all on a very similar level, and I'd say they're all just maybe just a little bit below Pidcock based upon like just Amstel. Maybe they're just playing a bit too cagey, but there's also guys like Kuznetsov, of course, the winner of the Brabant Cipel. He missed out at Amstel, so I reckon he'll be looking to get a good result out of Liège. He's always sort of fallen a little bit short at Liège. I remember an edition where he had a flat tire with like 10 kilometers to go, which really put him out of a race. He was up for a top 10 in that edition. I think that was like 2021 or something. So Kuznetsov is certainly one to be looking at. I also think Maxime Van Hills, he's had a very good season so far. And again, he was another one who missed out at the weekend, but he finished second recently at the Gran Premio Miguel Indurain, seventh at San Remo, third at Strada Bianchi, third at Drone Classic, fifth at the Phone Ardèche Classic. You know, he's racking up some really consistent one-day results. And he's also quite fast in a sprint. So if it did come down to like that edition where Quinten Hermans beat Wout, if it's a bit of a scenario like that, then it's possible, I think, that Van Hills could, you know, have quite a fast finish. And like you say, the note, Ben Healy as well. It's kind of strange to think that we've got to a point where Ben Healy was on everybody's lips. Like he was the name that everybody was talking about last year. Whereas at Amstel, they seem to be working for Vandenberg. So I'm not sure where to gauge Healy's format at the moment, because obviously he didn't really go on full Healy attack mode during Amstel, so it's hard to gauge where he's at. I see all those as larger as secondary leaders. Maybe Groupon with a Madouas and Gregoire could be interesting too, but I largely see those guys as the secondary favourites. Unless, is there anybody else who you want to add to that? But I think that's about it.
Well, Michael Matthews, I just looked at it now, and his best result was, well, pretty good. Fourth place in 2017. But he wasn't, yeah, again, he was up there in Amstel, but not really a top result. Andreas Kuhn came down in a crash. Stephen Williams, he was 43rd, so not really a great result from them. But they were up there towards the front at one point. Maybe they were working for Dylan Teuns. Dylan Teuns, you could lob in there as well. And this is the thing. This is probably our biggest outsiders section we've had in these previous shows, because it is just all over the place in a way. Santiago Buitrago, I'm not sure if he's on the start line, but obviously he finished on the podium, was it last year?
He's doing La Flèche Wallonne, so I'd expect that he will be going down to do Liège-Bastogne-Liège as well.
What do you think of Bora? Because they've got both Vlaso and a former winner in Bob Jungels, who had like a bit of an attack on the Kalberg, I think.
Yeah, he looked really good for that, did Jungels, actually. Vlasov is, I guess, the main man. It looks like Shacklin, I would have thrown in here, but he's not on the start list. I think he had an illness or something in Amstel Gold Race. But Vlasov's an interesting one because I think he really suits this style of racing. He almost finished on the podium. I think it was in that. I think it was in the 2022 edition, I want to say. So he is surprisingly good at the Ardennes, is Vlasov. We haven't seen him since the Volta Catalunya, where he finished fourth overall, and you know he was looking quite good there. It's easy to forget how fantastic he was at the Mallorca Challenge races this year. One-day races over hilly terrain. I know it was a while ago, and it's a different kind of kettle of fish, but he can do a one-day race, can Vlasov. I mean, he was fourth at Il Lombardia last year, so Vlasov's certainly not a name to be looking over as just a person who's filling out the numbers.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to go into our favorite part of the show, which is obviously predictions. And I think I can almost guess your top three. Well, I'm not going to pick that because you're a cynic in the top three section here, in my eyes. But yeah, go on, Patrick. Why is Tadej Pogačar winning, and who's going to join him on the podium? Who's going to join him and Pidcock?
Yeah. Literally, yeah. I think that Tadej Pogačar will win. I think Van Hills comes second, and I think Pidcock comes third.
Oh, wow. Who saw that coming?
I mean, you know, Pogačar solos off. There's a lot of riders here who are all on a very similar level in that second tier bracket. And I just think in a finish, maybe Van Hills could pit Pidcock on the line. I'm just expecting this kind of gaggle of second-tier favourites all hurtling towards the line, and it's going to be a bit of a sprint between them.
Okay, I'm going to say in third place is going to be Tadej Pogačar. Second place, Mathias Gilmoser Jensen. And in first place, Michael Woods. No, I'm kidding. Mathieu van der Poel wins his fourth of the five monuments, and the world champion wins for a second year in a row, because it was last year. Ruka won. People, it's happening. The big thunder punch attack is coming on Lera Dude. Nobody can respond. Actually, no, it's going to be 80 kilometers out. But you could have a scenario where him and Tadej maybe go off the front together. That would, I think the cycling world would absolutely explode in excitement if that happened.
Yeah, it would. That would be like the two biggest names in the sport at the moment, arguably.
Excuse me?
What? Who's bigger?
Vingegaard, a two-time Tour de France champion.
He's out.
He's still here.
Yeah, he's got a collapsed look. Well, he won't come to Liège-Bastogne.
I think he will never come to this race, unfortunately.
No, it's really sad, but okay, yeah. I mean, I would be opposed to Van der Poel winning. I'm just not sure if it's going to happen.
We might as well do a bonus round as well, and who do you want to be the bonus pick?
Podcast favourite, Alexey Lutsenko.
How's he actually done in the... he's not this podcast's favourite. We need to come up with our own favourite for this podcast.
Where would Alexey Lutsenko come? I'm not sure if he's had that great of a history in this race, to be honest with you.
I was just going to check. Last time he was here was... last year. Didn't finish. 2023,
89th. Oh, dear.
98th in 2017. He's actually got better results in Tour of Flanders than this race.
Has he?
That's quite interesting.
This is going to be the year where he's going to do his best. I think Alexey Lutsenko is going to come seventh.
I was going to say fourth, but after what we've just seen, I'm not even sure if top 20 is in the picture. I mean, we haven't had Kazakh guys before winning this race, so it's not out of the question. Vinokurov and Maxim Glinski. So yeah, I'm going to say, I'll say fourth. Okay, let's say we have a backup as well. I'm going to say 17. Backup to a guest.
Finish.
What's your backup? Oh, he doesn't finish.
Yeah, backup is he just doesn't finish.
Not Inglitsky. Lutsenko, prove us wrong. Prove us right, actually, because top 10 is a good result.
That would be cool.
But anyways, that's basically it for our previous show and our last one of the one day races. So if you've been with us for every single one of them, thank you eternally for that. But we all know how it is now. Hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, and let us know down below what your podium is. And don't do it after the race, because that's just cheating. As always, we're available on Spotify as well. And check out Patrick's own channel as well, Velo Games. He'll do a preview of La Flèche Wallonne. I know I love that race, but yeah, it was a bit too close of a turnaround for us to do that as well. But yeah, with that, and if you want to see more of Patrick, the Echelon Cycling Podcast tracking episode this week on episode 64. But yeah, that's basically it for us. Thank you as always for watching, and we will see you in the next one, which will be, we haven't decided on the Tour Romandy, so it might be the Giro.
Might be the Giro. Ciao.